just put this one aside a little bit. Good morning, everybody. You can look at Hebrew 4. Okay, Hebraeum. So everybody that has the Bible with them, have applause. And I will never play, Lord, thank you that I'm not like this one or that one, but anywho. But now that we are talking on the telephone. So if you see the pile of phones and you see a nice one, just don't pick one out, you know. Ha ha ha. And there's my beautiful wife, Natanya. Tanya is great, and she has hobbies, and she has goals, and she started walking the Peter path, so that's just so nice, you know, and I started walking with her, and we started to sit, and she left the book, and I walked back, and I got it. But apparently, when I walked back, I lost my phone, and my smartwatch lost connection to my phone. But I didn't think about it, so I just had to hike back 5 miles, 5 miles to get my phone. And somebody says, yeah, if you go crazy, if you lose your phone, you know, and that's how important it is for us. But if I am willing to walk five miles back and forth to get up my phone, to think about it, if you are lost a little bit, maybe you should look back. That you had a good connection with God, and so just to look back and walk back, you know, to that moment, and that was the point. I lost it. Just, you know, a telephone is just a thing, but if you lost your connection with God, you should hike back. You know, it's super important. And people that put their telephone here, that's great. But there are so many things that distract us from the Lord. And soon I will be married for 30 years with my wife. But my first love will always be the Lord Jesus, wherever I am. When I lived as a young boy in Dronte, there was a store. Sometimes there was on the store closed due to circumstances. And it never said which circumstances. And in the corona tide, of course, you read it and then you think, what happened to those people? Anywho, everything was closed and nothing was open. And if you are in the front of a closed door, sometimes it's literally, sometimes it's figuratively that everything is locked. You can have the feeling that you are in front of a closed door. And just look at the like a shop that is always open, you know, 24/7 shop of and with an owner that never sleeps or slumbers, and the door is always open. And we read Hebrew 4 verse 13 till 16. We read it from the King James. Therefore, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us firmly to the faith we profess. It's not right. Anyway, Jesus did not fall into sin. And then through him, we can come to the Lord to find grace and mercy when we need it. And in Hebrew, it's written, let's walk to the throne freely. And of course, only God knows who wrote the Hebrew letter. Is it important? Sometimes. But now we don't know, and we just have this text. It's written about 70 years after Christ. And the goal was, of course, to encourage mainly Hebrew Christians to follow the Lord, that followed the Lord, you know. And they put their faith in the law. They cast aside for their faith in Jesus. And suddenly they were persecuted and looked down upon. And that is the reason the Hebrew letter is written. And you should read it. And Andy Murray read a beautiful book about it. And one of the words that you will see a lot is better, you know. Everything will be better. We are towards a better place. We have a better future. We have a better God. Lord, we have a better, I don't know. Everything is better. You know? And that is how the Hebrew letter was written. The letter to the Hebrews. Hebraeum. And he's just, all right, the Lord always just showed a little bit of how he was until Jesus. Because when Jesus came, he was the perfect image of God. And sometimes we have a discussion with our youngest, and he just says, and this, and that. And the Hebrew is just about relations with God, you know? So, if you really want to see who God is, don't look at the things that were, you know, but look at the things that are. And the Lord Jesus is. And Jesus did so many great things when he was on this earth. He was just always great, you know. Always. Perfect reflection of God's love on earth. The one that wrote this beautiful letter wrote it for members of the congregation that were in great need. And the message is truly, fear not, look, Jesus is upon the throne of mercy, the mercy seat. And who knows about the tabernacle? One or three, maybe more. And if you see the image of the tabernacle, you will see the Ark of the Covenant. Covenant. And upon that, if you see the Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know a little bit how it looked. It was a big wooden chest with gold, with great mighty gold cherubs, with wings towards them. So, and if there was like once a year, the high priester made a sacrifice at the tabernacle, at the same way we can look upon the Lord Jesus, you know, he's just the upon the tabernacle of mercy, and he is mercy. And he has bestowed mercy upon us by accepting us and loving us. And only, of course, the high priesters could enter the Holy of Holies only once a year. And sometimes they were just so worried what would happen with the high priester that he had he had bells around his legs and a rope around his neck, or around his leg. So it could, of course, happen that the Lord would kill the high priester and they could never go in. So, but the high priester has to come out. So he was, you know, if the man fell down dead, he would be, could be able to be pulled back by the rope. You know, the people in Israel had just such incredible awe of God, you know. And we should remind us about itself. It is truly his breath that fills our lungs. And at one point the Lord will come back and all of the earth will be filled by his holiness. And there will be place for nothing else. It will be great, you know. And it's just imagine yourself being filled by the presence of the Lord and his holiness, and all of earth, all of creation will be a place of holiness and worship and awe of the Lord. And now we can already come to the throne of mercy, not once a year, not one of us, but everybody that can, everybody that wants to can come to the throne of the Lord and pray on him and ask for his beautiful mercy and blessing. And Jesus paid it on the cross, you know. And it used to be so incredibly special. But now we can just come to the Lord day in, day out. And we can pray upon him, knowing that he hears us from his great throne of mercy and bestows his mercy upon us. And if God would be here, sitting here on his throne with all his angels and all the demons accusing you, you are not worthy. You can just kick them aside and go forth to the Lord and give him a big hug, you know, because he's our Father. Truly, through the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we are his sons and family of the Lord. And we can come to him with boldness. With courage, knowing that our prayers will be heard. And all of us, but not by what we did, but what the Lord did and who we are in Jesus. There is a difference between bold and forward. Being forward. And I was just a little boy, and I read in the Bible, whoever seeks a place, it will be great. And I just, oh, you know what? I will do the sing leading. And I was 16. And I did it. I just stepped out and did it. That's just being free. And much later, we went to a team meeting from Young and Free. And I thought we can take a shortcut. And I jumped across the slope. I just saw nobody at the farm, you know, and I just, there was nobody to ask, and I just got the ladder, and I got my friends across the, but then suddenly there was just like a huge guy. And there was this like, and he said, how dare you just to take a ladder away from this old woman? And so there is a difference between just being bold and being forward with people. And if you have a word, you can just, yeah, it's just a little strange to stand up and say, go away, preacher, I have a better word than you. But of course you can be free in the Lord. But try not to be forward or bold, too bold, you know. But we have to be free. We have a free access to the Lord. So I don't know when you were there for the last time. I don't know what is your situation. Maybe you feel like I'm being judged or whatever. Maybe whatever you're doing is just... just ducking the Lord, you know, and ducking your brothers and sisters. Ow. So, are you going forward? Or do you take, like, detours? So, you can read your Bible and not go to the Lord, you know. And God's always looking for us. We finally just go and to use our right to pray upon the throne of mercy. And we really look for the Lord. And what can we expect? Mercy. You can expect great mercy from the throne against the righteousness of the world. You know, and that is just what the Lord is, you know, good. And good of will, and the Lord is longing to help you, and he does, you know. Sometimes it takes long, but the Lord really helps. And there is a word for mercy in English: loving kindness, not earned but still received. And who knows Psalm 137? There is a forward, forth and back between the Lord and God, because and the good grace of the Lord is until all eternity. And if you know, you press lemonade, your lemon, you get lemonade. And if like you would press the Lord, you would get pure goodness, you know, and pure holiness. But now I have to tell somebody something that is not good. And a couple of years ago, I had to really repent towards my wife. I thought she would call me terrible names. Still, I told her my sin, but our wife just reacted really kindly, you know. She was loving and nice, and not what I deserved. And that same, yeah, the Lord is always good. So why stay away if there is something? Is it because we are afraid that we will be judged, you know? Do we believe the lies that the demons tell us to keep us away from the throne of goodness and grace? Where we can only expect good things? Is it not written that if we repent our sins, the Lord is so good to forgive our sins? And I don't know what you think about the throne of God. And that, you know, the thought between of a throne is actually the king is at the highest place, you know, it's really important. But the throne of our Lord God and King is the throne of mercy and grace, you know. It's written the grace of God reaches higher than the heaven, higher than the clouds, no? So, and God is sitting on it, and we can come, you know, to thank to Jesus, to the throne. And what will happen? We will get help at the right time. And it's like if there's a ship in need, they put on extra chains and anchors, you know, and sometimes when there's really trouble, they shoot a line between two ships, and the crew from the one ship can come to the other ship, and to avoid a place of safety, and you know, that is just what God is for us. A lifeline that will help us in the right time, you know. And God is faithful and loyal towards you, us. And years ago we went sailing, and one of the boats had problems. And his propeller so fortunate. We were with other boats, and we could just tow our friend, you know, from Urk back to Zeewolde. You know, it's like the Lord always offers a tow at the right moment, but you have to pray on him, you know, and ask your help. Who remembers the commercial from the Purple Crocodile? I think it's like from an insurance company. And it's like a commercial. It's a commercial that was like a little girl that lost a purple crocodile in the swimming pool. And the mother came back to get it, and she said, "I lost a purple crocodile," and it's standing right beside the receptionist, you know. But first, she had to do lots of paperwork to get it, and it was like a funny commercial. But the God is like our insurance, you know. It just helps us. And in, at Christmas we sing Gloria et Excelsis Deo. And it means all honor to God, the Most High. But it's also written people of the well-being. And that is us. People that are within the joy of the Lord. And God wants to answer our prayers. There is a place where you can receive mercy and grace. And it is at, with the Lord. And I teach at a strict school. And I read a magazine about day construction. It's about highly educated Americans that just ask so many questions, you know. And the result is some people just started deducting so much, and it just crashed. Some people crashed, and you know, as soon as you start deciding what is true and what is not true, so this movement is about deconstructing what you really believe and but I just want to urge yourself, you know, don't do that, you know. Don't start looking for answers in yourself or in the questions that you answer yourself, you know. The only true answer is look for the Lord Jesus. He is the answer. All answers will be relieved and received in front of the throne, you know. And the answer is that you get from the Lord. It's not something that you question and try to reduct to your own truths. But I honestly can testify about the character of Jesus. And for me, it's more than enough. More than enough. And if you have the urge to ask everything and constantly ask yourself this and that, and what is it that I believe, just ask yourself, do I believe in the goodness of Jesus and his beautiful presence on this earth and in my life? Then, you know, ask your questions at God, and at one point he will answer you and he will lift you up again from the circumstances, you know? And it's like the parable of Maria and Lazarus, you know. And Lazarus died, and Jesus came much too late, you know, 4 days after Lazarus was declared dead. And he just talks about the great love that Lazarus felt and knew from Jesus, you know. And that is what still, you know, like Lazarus really knew Jesus. That is still possible, you know. You could still really know Jesus and his goodness. And the goodness of God through the Holy Spirit and the grace of the mercy seat. Don't focus on asking yourself all the time, what do I believe and why? You know, just look for Jesus and see what he will do for you and what he who he is. And with God, you know, there is never a sign closed to circumstances, but there is a sign due to circumstances always open. And circumstance, of course, being Jesus dying on the cross and kicking the devil's ass. Hallelujah. Amen. So please stand and and maybe if you want to pray or you want to receive prayer or maybe if you're just going to sing a song, we will see. And if you are here, and I'm not really going to do a shout out to repent yourself or to come forward, but if you're here and you're looking for answers from the Lord, there is also written in the Bible, you have but you do not ask. What is the last time you really asked the Lord for an answer about the situation? God, you know, answers, but when is the last time you asked? Just take today the time, you know, just take the time today, you know, maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes or longer. You can ask the Lord, you know, of course, Lord, you still love me. You know, you can ask the Lord anything, of course. Just ask for guidance and real answer for the Lord, you know. And I truly believe, but by who I know that the Lord is, the Lord will speak to you and he will show you. Maybe through a feeling of peace or whatever, you know. Nothing is too small or too big. Sometimes it comes from somebody else. So my first assignment is be still for yourself. And my second assignment is, if the Lord gives you like a message for somebody, just give it to him, you know. Sometimes, but first ask for, of course, for confirmation, you know. Don't go spouting things about others, you know. But if you truly believe it's from the God, you know, you should do something with it. And the Lord can do great things for yourself and for others. And as we are together as a church, as the body of Christ, we are more than the sum of our parts. And being a Christian is not being like a lone wolf, but we are together, you know. Father, I pray for this congregation, for this week, for this moment, that you'll speak to us, Lord, from the throne of mercy. And as you have done so many times, Lord, that you will do it again. And that you will help us, Lord, at your time. And we will receive what we need, Lord, in your time, Lord, in Jesus' name. But also knowing that it will come, Lord, in Jesus' name.